Well, it's been lovely to have Pete with us this weekend, and Mark and Debbie as well. Mark and Debbie are friends of ours that go back years and years and years, and it's been lovely to have them with us this weekend. It's been great to be sort of having our thinking and our experience stretched regarding the prophetic, and I just trust that that's going to really grow in us as a church. For those of you who don't know who Peter is, Peter heads up something called School of Ministries, and which is a sort of an international sort of modular teaching program, and somebody that I've known for years and years and years, go back sort of about 25, 30 years probably, from the days when we were in Essex, and a guy that I really do respect as a prophetic teacher. So it's great to have you with us here this morning,
Thank
Pete.
Thank you.
Lord bless you. Let's give Pete another welcome, shall we, this morning.
All right. Yeah, it's been really good to be here in Haverhill. Thank you for your welcome. Those of you who've been on the prophetic course that we've done and the gatherings that we've had, thanks for the way you've received me, and I've enjoyed it, so I hope you have, and I hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and inspired. And it's been great to be in Paul and Wendy's home as well. Last time I came, they put me in a hotel. This time I was promoted and was allowed to visit their home, and that was great. Thanks for your fellowship. And of course, I met the irrepressible Zoe as well. And what a joy that was. I must have met her when she was sort of this high or something, but I don't remember her. But she made a great impression on me in the home. It was great to meet somebody who's younger, who doesn't just grunt and play with their mobile phone, you know, and go, and then back in their phone. So we've had some really nice conversations. So thank you for talking to me, an old fogey like this. And yeah, I've really enjoyed that. And so that's been an extra blessing, a bonus that I wasn't expecting. And a conversation yesterday with Zoe was quite interesting. She came in yesterday. She'd been out with a friend and whatever. She came bouncing into the house, and she let us all know that she'd had a cup of coffee with a friend, and it had cost her £9. Two cups of coffee for £9. Is that right? Yeah. That means three cups of coffee would have cost £13.50, doesn't it? So, oh, you know where I'm going now, yeah. All right. Well, you drink a cup of coffee and it's gone in a moment. But you could buy my books for less money than it costs to buy three cups of coffee and be blessed and helped for the rest of your life. You know. And so I'm here over this weekend sharing with you about the Holy Spirit and about the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy, and I'll be talking about the gifts of the Spirit this morning. And I'm doing that because God spoke to me a number of years ago, and I've been teaching, preaching on the Holy Spirit for that time. And I've written two books. The first one is called Pentecost Now. I talked about that last time I was here. And there's some prophetic encouragements for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to expect a move of the Holy Spirit. And now I've written my second book. I actually published this book on the day I became a Septuagenarian. Wow. You know what a Septuagenarian is? Someone who makes it to 70, yeah. So I'm a Septuagenarian, and on my birthday I published the second book, which is on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe, again, it's a valid contribution for every believer to embrace the truth of the Holy Spirit. My friends from Southend bought two over the breakfast table. There they are, for a friend. Those of you who couldn't come to the weekend, the prophecy weekend, at the back of this book there's an appendix, and all the notes from the prophecy weekend, the full notes, are there as well. So for less you know, than all the time you could have spent, you can actually acquire those. So I'll be at the back at the end. I'm right in the front as well. I look for a prophetic encouragement to inspire you. Just a brief prophetic word that I'd like to write in the front of the books. And of course, the price, less than 3 cups of coffee. You can have 1 for 7 or 2 for 12. If you bought this one the last time I was here, you can have the new one for 6 as well. So at the end of the gathering, I'm really happy to not have to carry them back with me. And I really do believe you'll be blessed. In fact, if you buy it and it doesn't bless you, send it back and I'll give you your money back, all right? That's fair enough, isn't it? Yeah. But I really do believe that God wants to move upon us and among us by His Spirit. We've tried all the programs and all our ideas and to win arguments and everything, but actually at the end of the day, we need the Holy Spirit. If He doesn't come and move and work among us, we're not going to touch this nation. We're not going to touch Haverhill. We're not going to impact the places where God has put us. Just a few months ago, I was in Sedgley. Anybody know where Sedgley is? Or, yeah? It's the West Midlands. It's just near Wolverhampton. And I was speaking for a weekend there, speaking on the Holy Spirit. And on the Sunday morning, a lady asked if she could give a testimony. And so she came to the front and she shared. She'd been in the gatherings on the Saturday and she'd had an encounter with God, and she told us her story. She told us that 4 years ago, 4 years previously, she'd had cancer of the tongue, and she'd had a major operation, and they'd cut away part of her tongue. And as a result of cutting away part of her tongue, it had left her without any feeling in her mouth at all, and it meant also that she couldn't swallow. And so for 4 years she'd lived with this, and she'd had a tube put in to feed her, and so she hadn't swallowed, she hadn't felt, had any feeling in her tongue at all for 4 years. And she'd gone to the doctor, and she said to the doctor, you know, that she was really depressed, and was there anything he could do for her, any way in which he could help her? And the doctor said, there's nothing else I can do for you. There's nothing I can do to alleviate your situation or to help you in any way. And then the doctor, the GP, said to her, why don't you try something spiritual? Go to church. And so 2 weeks before I was there, this lady had turned up in the church meeting, she'd come for 2 Sundays. She'd been befriended by one of the ladies in the church. And when she heard about this weekend, she asked if she could come. And they said, of course you can. And so she turned up to these meetings, and she's sharing on Sunday morning what happened to her on the Saturday. So in the first session, I was talking generally about the work of the Holy Spirit. And I noticed this lady talking to this other lady, and she's crying, and I'm talking, and it's very off-putting, and I'm thinking, you know, this is very rude. Why is that lady doing that? Because I discover when she gives her testimony, the Holy Spirit has touched her heart, and she's turned to the woman next to her and said, I really feel the presence of God. I want to give my life to Jesus. And so while I'm speaking, she's giving her life to Jesus and getting saved. And the lady who prayed with her said to me, she said, I've never heard anybody pray such a passionate prayer inviting Jesus into her life. She said, oh Jesus, I plead with you, come into my life. I desperately need you to fill my life. And it was just a wonderful prayer of yielding her life up to Jesus. So that's during the first session. I took a young guy with me who moves in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and God uses quite powerfully. And this young guy got up after I'd finished the first session, Brought some words of knowledge. And of course, one of the words of knowledge is a lady in here who's had cancer of the tongue, an operation for cancer of the tongue. I'd like to pray for you. I believe God's going to heal you. So, of course, we don't know anything about this. So we got the people over there to be prayed for while in the break we went for coffee. So most of us go for coffee. And over here, this young guy's praying for these people. And suddenly we hear above the coffee and everything, this lady calls out, "I can feel my tongue, I can feel my tongue." And then about 10 seconds later, "And I can swallow, I can swallow." And so this young guy says, what would you like to eat? Now, if it had been me, I'd have been really cautious. I'd have suggested porridge or something like that. But this young guy said, "What would you like?" She said, "Oh, I haven't eaten an apple for 4 years. I'd like to eat an apple." So the first thing she ate after 4 years was an apple, and she ate the whole thing without any problem at all. And she testified that when she went home that Saturday night, she had fish and chips for the first time, and she ate it without any problem at all. So she got saved in the first session, she gets healed in the second session. I speak on the baptism in the Spirit in the next session, I say, "If you want to be filled with the Spirit, would you stand up?" She's the first one on her feet. I pray a blanket prayer for people to be filled with the Spirit, and she's speaking in tongues at the top of her voice. And so she goes home after that first day, having come in without Jesus, having met Jesus, having been healed, and having been filled with the Holy Spirit. And she's testifying on this Sunday morning. She said, "I came in like this," and she said, "I feel so alive," she said, and her face lit up. And she came from a very large dysfunctional family, and the next week I got a text from the leader of the church to say that a number of her family, the transformation in this woman had been so powerful that a number of her family had come the next weekend, and five of them had made first-time commitments to give their life to Jesus. What a great story, hey! But in the midst of it, God moving supernaturally by His Spirit. We had a baptismal service just a short time ago at our local church, and a number of students were baptized. And the first two testimonies really impacted me because, again, of this sense of the supernatural. This first young guy gave his testimony, and he told us how that he'd been brought up as an atheist. Both his parents were atheists, and so he'd brought up in that atmosphere, so he didn't believe in God. And he came to university in Southampton, he became aware that he found it very easy to tell lies. And he didn't like it. He didn't like himself. He didn't like the fact that he was becoming someone who told lies. And then he fell in love with a young lady, and he found that he was even lying to her. And that really concerned him, that he had this problem with lying. And so one day in his room, in his student room there, he doesn't know what to do, and he hates what he's becoming. So he cries out to God, and his prayer is this: "Oh God, I don't even believe that you exist, but please come and help me and change me." And he says the room filled with light, and he felt the presence of God, and he knew that God was real, and he came into a relationship with Jesus. Supernatural, God working. God moving by His Spirit. The second girl who was baptized gave her testimony. She said that she had been come to the end of her first year of university, and her exams were coming, and panic was rising in her heart. She was really struggling, and she got into all kinds of problems, and she went to the doctors, and she couldn't cope, and the doctor put her on some medication, but that didn't really help her, and she was all screwed up and, you know, in a mess mentally, and she said she didn't know what to do, but she knew she couldn't take her exams, and she went to the Christian Union. At the university, she walked into the Christian Union, and a young woman walked up to her and said, welcome, it's good to see you. And she just said to her, do you have problems with this? And this young woman just brought her a word of knowledge, an incredible insight, and read her mail and just, you know, told her exactly what she was going through and offered to pray for her and prayed for her. And she was totally and completely set free from all fear and panic and whatever. Went through her exams, sailed through them, got top marks and whatever, and gave her life to Jesus. Gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, working. I got a friend building a church in East London in the tough part of Bow. You know, that's like, you know, I mean, Ilford's quite nice where Bill was brought up, but Bow is really rough and tough and difficult area. Lots of migrants, you know, lots of really heavy problems and whatever. And he's building this church and growing this church, and they've seen 60 Muslim people come to Christ. And I talked to him. I said, you know, that seems extraordinary that you've seen 60 Muslims come to Christ. He said, do you know something? Every single Muslim that comes to Christ, there's a supernatural dynamic attached to it. So we haven't won anybody, any Muslim for Christ, just by winning arguments or arguing about religion or what we believe or what they believe. He said, in every single story, there is something supernatural. There's a dream, there's a vision, there's a supernatural answer to prayer. There is something of God breaking in supernaturally that has resulted in them coming into salvation. You know, and I heard that and I thought, we're living in a day and an age, we're living amongst a secular people or a religious people, and there are barriers. And if you try talking and whatever, you don't feel you get anywhere. But there's something about the work of the Holy Spirit that breaks through and cuts through all of the stuff and brings people into relationship with God. And I am convinced that God wants to release us into a new day of expecting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work and move among us. God has made provision for us as ordinary believers to move in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. He hasn't just filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can have supersonic worship times. He has done it for that, and isn't it great when we feel His presence and we're worshiping the Lord together? And is it great when we sense His presence and His help? And isn't it great when He speaks to us to comfort us and build us up? But God has greater purpose than that for filling us with the Holy Spirit and releasing to us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given us these wonderful gifts in order that we might be out there in the marketplace, in the workplace, in our neighborhoods, hearing from Him, walking with Him, listening to Him, and releasing His presence and power into the lives of people around us. And I want to encourage you this morning to dare to believe that God wants to use you. In fact, I want to do more than that. I want to go to the scriptures and show you that He wants to use you. And show you that God has chosen that every single one of you in this room who are Christians, who are walking with God, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, ought to be experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life and through your life. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says to this, to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. To each one. Each one in the Greek means exactly what it says, each one, yeah. It means that God wants every one of us to be moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes even further as he writes here, and he says, and to one is given, and to another, and to another, and to another, and to another. And then when he finishes that paragraph in verse 11, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. So we can be in no doubt this morning But God wants to use every single one of us in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not just the leaders. It's not just the two or three people who seem to be more spiritual than others, or God talks to and he doesn't talk to me or whatever. Actually, it's very clear to one, another, 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 another. So here's my question, my challenge. If that is true, which gift of the Holy Spirit has God used you in the last week? Have you brought a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? Have you been used in healing or in a miracle? Have you exercised supernatural faith? Has God used you in bringing a prophecy? Because it's like Paul says, look, this is the norm for people in the church. This is the norm. This is the expectation to each one, every single one of us, exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit to each one. You know, it's a lovely word, this word gifts. It's the Greek word charismata. We'll do a bit of Greek now. That's where we get our thought that we're a charismatic church. Are you a charismatic church? What do you reckon? You think so? You're not sure? Somebody tell him what you are, will you? Yeah, we describe ourselves as that because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's a beautiful word, this word, charismata. It's actually a word made up of two words. And the word charis is the word grace. And the word martyr is the word gifts. So these are grace gifts. All right, now that's really important for us to understand. That means you don't attain them because you're better than anybody else. It means you don't earn them because you do a certain number of things. It means that God, in his incredible, unbelievable kindness, releases these gifts to us. We never deserve them. We never earn them. We never have the right to exercise them. He, in his unbelievable kindness, has made this extraordinary provision for us, because we, in our own strength and by our own ability, can't do this stuff. We can't do these things. We need his help, and he, in his unbelievable goodness, releases to us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And whoever we are, we never earn them, we never deserve them. We receive them because they're grace gifts. God wants to release to every single one of us here in this gathering not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but wants to work through us in and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, every believer, to each one, every single one of us. And I love the word that's used there. It says, for to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That word manifestation is another fascinating word. It's a Greek word, and it's the word phanerosis. Phanerosis, very fascinating word. In fact, you've all experienced a phanerosis. Did you know that? Did you know in the last couple of days you've had a phanerosis? All right? You didn't know that? Well, you did. You saw one. I saw one today. I saw one yesterday. A phanerosis. Because the word that's used there is a word that describes something that happens in our weather. It's a word that's used to describe what happens when there's a cloudy sky and the sky is filled with cloud, and suddenly there's a breaking through of the sun through the clouds. A shining forth. That's what the word means, phanerosis. A shining forth. The sun breaks through the clouds. That's the word that describes that. Anybody seen that in the last few days? Not enough of it, but we've seen some of it. Yeah. You've all experienced a phanerosis. You've all seen the sun breaking through the clouds. And that's the word that Paul uses here to describe what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. They're a breaking forth. They're a shining through. They're a little expression of something of God. God's love, God's power, God's presence is manifest. God comes in some way. He comes with his power to release healing. He comes with his presence to bring a word of encouragement and blessing. He comes with his knowledge to reveal something to us. Some expression of God is released among us as the gifts of the Holy Spirit are expressed among us. And I believe he wants to do that increasingly. And not just here on a Sunday morning in our meetings, but in the workplace, in the middle of a business meeting, taking the kids to school, out on your morning walk at 6 o'clock in the morning, if you're that way inclined. God wants to break through. He wants to shine forth. He's got all this wonderful love and power. We sing it all the time. We sing about this awesome God. We sing about his power. We sing about his love. We've done all that this morning. We've sung about it, but it's kind of up there, you know. And so we're like the hymn writer, Lord of all being throned afar. You know, God's up there, away from all of this. But here we are, down on the ground. But he's actually saying, I want to manifest myself. I want to show myself. Oh, excuse me getting excited. Is that all right? Is that all right, Zoe, or not? It's not cool, is it, to get excited about these things? Yeah. Yeah. Just want to know if it's all right. God wants to show himself. God wants to reveal himself. You see, when we start to look at the life of Jesus, what time did I start, by the way? About 10 past, all right, yeah. Okay, when we look at the life of Jesus, that's exactly what he came to do. He was God made flesh. And for 30 years, nothing happened through his life and ministry. But at 30 years of age, he's filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 3, and it's very fascinating to me that after he's filled with the Holy Spirit, we read these words in Luke 3, 22, 23, it says, and Jesus began his ministry, being about 30 years of age. He didn't begin his ministry before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he began his ministry. And then in Luke 4, he comes to an awareness of the purpose of God upon his life. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what? To have great meetings, to get the shakes, for the hairs to stand up on my, on my neck. No. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All of that is true because it says he was anointed with the oil of joy above his fellows. So Jesus was an incredibly happy person. He wasn't miserable. But he understood that the purpose and the reason God had filled him with the Holy Spirit was not just his own sense of well-being, but it was for the sake of others. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And then he goes on to talk about how that's going to happen through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring deliverance to the captives, going to set people free, going to open the eyes of the blind. He's going to release those who are bound. And the Holy Spirit's upon him that God might work through him with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to touch and minister to people's lives. Now, here's a challenge for all you Bible students. I began to look at every encounter Jesus had with people, and in every encounter that I find, I've discovered there was something of the supernatural, something of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And just a brief look at some of those examples, looking at John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, in chapter 1, Jesus meets Nathanael. Philip goes to find his friend Nathanael and says to him, "Hey, I found the Christ." And he brings Nathanael to Jesus. And as Nathanael's walking towards Jesus, Jesus looks at Nathanael and he stops him in his tracks and he says, "You're a really clean man. You've got a good heart. Your motive's right. You've got a pure heart." He says, in good old King James language, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael stops in his tracks. He says, "How do you know that?" And Jesus says, "Well, because before you were here, you were under the juniper tree sitting there." And the response of Nathanael, "Behold, you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Huh? He didn't go through the Alpha course. He didn't have a 45-minute theological discussion about whether God was real or whether Genesis 1 was correct. He had an encounter with the person of Jesus through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and his life was opened up in minutes. And he encounters the presence of Jesus. John chapter 2, Jesus goes to a wedding and they run out of wine. Some people have problems with this chapter. They try and suggest the wine wasn't real stuff or something, but it was grape juice. Oh dear. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. John chapter 2, Jesus goes to a wedding, they run out of wine. Jesus' mother, Mary, comes to the servants and said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And she comes to Jesus and says, "They've run out of wine." And Jesus said, "So." And then he then says, "Hey, go to the water pots and fill the jugs of wine, the flagons of wine, with the water from the water pots." You know, I don't know if you realize what the water pots were. It's where they washed their feet. Yeah. So everyone who came to the wedding, however many guests were there, when they came in, they washed their feet in that water. Now Jesus is saying, take that water full of all the bits from toenails and, you know, sand, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And all the junk and all the doggy doo they trod in on the way there and all that, it's all there in the water. Take the water and they pour it into the jugs, and they take the jug of wine to the host of the feast, the MC, and he drinks the wine. He said, "Wow, this is fabulous wine. Why have you saved the best wine until last?" And then John comments and he says this: "This first of miracles," there it is, a gift of the Spirit, a miracle takes place, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And then it says these words, "And his disciples believed on him." The impact of that miracle was that of those who were following him, perhaps they were uncertain and just saying, "Hey, we're following him." But that was the moment when they said, "Wow." And he says they believed on him. The effect of that miracle there in John chapter 2. John chapter 3 is the story of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. He was a ruler and he came to Jesus by night. And he came to Jesus and it says, and Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles except God be with him." And then it says in verse 3, and Jesus answered him. But he never asked a question. He made a statement: "Rabbi, you're a teacher come from God. No one could do these miracles except God be with him." And Jesus answered him and said, "You must be born again." What's that got to do with what he said? I mean, what an obscure conversation. He's come and made a statement about Jesus, who Jesus is, and Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." He didn't ask a question and certainly didn't ask that question. So what happened? Well, Jesus got a word of knowledge. Jesus was moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Jesus knew the real question he was asking, which was, how can God become real to me? And Jesus answered him and said, "You must be born again." See how that even in conversation, Jesus is listening to the Father. He's walking with the Father. He's releasing supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that are opening up people's lives. John chapter 4, woman at the well. Another great story. What opened her up? Not theological argument. She wanted a theological argument. So Jesus meets this woman at the well who's a Samaritan. And he starts to enter into conversation with her, and the first thing she wants to do is have a theological argument. What are you, a Jew who believes all this stuff, having to do with me, who's a Samaritan who believes differently to you? Jesus intrigues her by the conversation he has about drinking water and giving her water that will quench her thirst. And as the conversation goes on, she wants to have another theological argument. So she says, which mountain should we worship on? Should we worship on this mountain in Samaria? Or you Jews say we should. Jesus said, I don't want to talk about that. He said, why don't you ask your husband at home? And she said, I have no husband. He said, no, you don't. But you've had five, and the bloke you're living with now ain't your husband. Now, you'd have thought she might have sloshed him round the mush for saying that. But it stops her in her tracks. And she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. This word of knowledge about a situation opened her up to the truth. And she says, sir, give me this water that I might drink of it and never thirst again. And all the theological argument disappears in this encounter with the presence of God. As the gift of the Holy Spirit opens her up to the truth. And because the woman goes back into the town saying, come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. And a number of people in the city believe. You see, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Jesus operated and ministered, and even out there in the marketplace was living in relationship with the Father, listening to the Father. And Paul, when he comes to the New Testament, he says, to one and to another and to another, to you and to me. And of course, when we get into the book of Acts, and I haven't got time to go into the book of Acts this morning, I could keep you all day. You know, there's only one thing I could ever win an Olympic medal in, and that's talking. I could talk for England, I tell you, I'd win a medal for that. But I've learned to watch the clock for other people's sake. But you turn to the book of Acts and you've got every chapter in Acts. You've got the supernatural resulting in people coming to Jesus. So in chapter 2, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're all gabbling away in languages they've never learnt, a crowd gathers and they're astounded, amazed. Four times it says that they were astonished, amazed, perplexed, surprised. They said, what on earth is going on? Or in good King James language, what meaneth this? Because they hear them speaking the wonderful works of God in their own language. You know, we've got loads of Polish people in Southampton. I'm really expecting to walk out. You look a bit Polish, you know. I really...
Could you elaborate on that one?
Yeah. I don't know what it means. Yeah. I'm looking forward to walking up to somebody, feeling inspired by the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and seeing tears run down their face as I... in tongues, speak in the Polish language the wonderful works of God, and they open up to the gospel. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. People were opened up to the reality and the truth of God, his presence. This is astounding. Peter gets up and explains it. And 3,000 people come into a relationship with Jesus. Acts chapter 3, there's a guy who's sitting at the temple gates who's been there, put there every day from the day he was born, and his legs have never worked. And Peter and John walk in, and you know, the way they speak is very powerful, very fascinating. This man has been begging at the gates for year after year, and he sees these two guys come in, and he asks them for alms, for silver and gold. You know, you've heard the old thing, he asked for alms and got legs, haven't you? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It says, you know, have you got any money? And Peter turns to him, Peter and John together. And he said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we're carrying something. What are they carrying? They're carrying the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're being used by God in releasing a miracle into this man's life. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we release to you, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And they take him by the hand, and he gets up and he walks for the first time in his life. And then it says, and walking and leaping and praising God in the temple, a great crowd arise, and what happens? Well, the number of believers comes to be about 5,000. Why is it there for us? Well, because, you know, you could say, well, you know, Jesus was Jesus and you know, whatever, but here it is, ordinary people, fishermen. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, were absolutely astounded by it. And they turned to one another and say, you know, we can't say anything about this because we just know these guys have been with Jesus. They're unlearned and ignorant fishermen. That's how they were described. But the power of the Holy Spirit was released through them in miracles. Do you believe God wants to do that with you? Believe, Matt, that God wants to take hold of you and through you release gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, faith, healing, his presence. Friends come to you, Zoe, friends come to you and they've got stuff and problems and questions and whatever, and you try and answer them and whatever. Hey, I believe God just wants you to just hold back and listen, and he give you something to say that will unlock them and open them. Simple word of encouragement. And you'd be amazed the simplicity of the word that God wants to bring. I was talking to the guys the other day about a lady who walked into a church in Wickford where I was speaking, and I just felt God said to me, tell her that I love her and that I care about her, I know all about her circumstances, and I'm going to work in her life. I mean, that's not great. Any one of us could receive that. It's not some great insight and revelation, or I didn't think it was. But when I shared it with her, she burst into tears. They'd take her in another room. She was prayed for and led to Jesus. She told me her story after the meeting. She'd come from the north of England, moved to Wickford with her husband. They worked in London. They both got jobs and they got a massive mortgage. And then he got the sack. He'd been made redundant. They got into all kinds of financial problems. They'd started fighting and arguing and all that kind of stuff. And that Sunday morning, they'd had a big fight and he'd actually clumped her. He'd actually given her a beating and she'd run out of the house and she didn't know what to do or where to go. All her friends and family were up north. She didn't know anybody and she's walking the streets and she's like just desperate, and she walks past the church building and she hears a voice and says, go in there. And so she walked in and sat down. She sat down for 5 minutes and I get up and say, God loves you, cares for you, knows all about your circumstances, wants to help your life. She gave her life to Jesus. She's still serving Jesus today. Huh. So I shared that word in that story in March this year in Wits University in South Africa. They've got a campus church there with about 400 students in, 18 to 25s. And during the service, they said, if you're new here, would you like to stand up? And so this girl stood up and she'd come for the first time to the meeting. So I'm sharing this story. As I share this story, God just directs me to her eyes, and I said, and that's true for you too, my dear. God loves you, cares about you, and wants to break into your life. Tears start running down her face and whatever, and because her story comes out afterwards, very similar to this other lady and whatever, and she gets saved and gives her life to Jesus. And that's not rocket science. It really isn't. And your neighbours need to hear from God through you. And you say, I don't know what to say. That's all right, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in that day when you'll find yourself in that situation. I brought a prophetic word in the prayer time before, and it was surrounding the Acts story where Paul is in, I think it's in Corinth, and God speaks to Paul, and God says to Paul, go on speaking. He says, I have many people in this city. And I have this real sense that Haverhill is a place where people have come. There's not many original Haverhillites. It's been a place where people have come from here and there. And I had this sense that God has sent people here. And God hasn't just sent people here, and there's people with real stuff and needs and problems. Most of the people have come here because, you know, life hasn't worked out and they've found themselves here in Haverhill. And then I have this other sense that God has sent you here, and God has put you here, and God has given you this place because He has many people in this town that He wants you to reach. And thank God for every community program. Keep doing it. You deserve your OBE, MBE, whatever it is. I hope you get a knighthood, Harry, Henry, Fred, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Keep doing that stuff. But in the midst of that stuff, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Mark brought a word last night about a scrubbing brush in one hand and the Bible in the other hand. And there is that sense of getting involved with people and situations and needs and helping people. But the Word of God comes in the other hand. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to take hold of us, you and me. You, sir, God wants to take hold of you and through you release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak through you to your neighbours, to your friends, to your work colleagues. Every single one of us, to each one. And you're not too old, my friend. It's not all past you. It's not all stories of what happened yesterday. It's today. It's now. It's in the present. God wanting to take hold of us and use us in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this day, because He has many people in this city. God wants us to open up and allow ourselves to be used. Those of you who are on the course over these past few days, God wants to speak through you to other people. If you weren't on the course, buy the book and read the story at the end. Because God wants to release through you gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak through you. A friend of mine was in Tesco's. And he's in the queue at Tesco's, coming up to the checkout. And he's one away from the checkout. And God says to him, the woman in front of you has got a back problem. Pray for her. He said, I can't do that. So God says, she's got a pain in her back. Pray for her. So he tapped her on the shoulder. He said, excuse me. He said, have you got a pain in your back? She said, I've had it for weeks. How do you know that? He said, God just showed me. He said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah, you can pray for me. So he prayed for her and she was instantly healed. And the woman who's sitting at the checkout doing all the stuff said, hey, will you pray for me? I've had headache for weeks. He said, yeah, of course I will. So he leans over, prays for the woman who's at the checkout, and she's instantly healed. The woman behind sees what's going on and said, oh, I've got terrible trouble with my knees. I've got awful arthritis. Will you pray for me? He prays for her. And she says, all pain has gone. So the woman at the checkout calls the supervisor over, said, hey, there's a bloke here, a Christian bloke, and he's praying for people who are sick. So he said, would you pray for others? He said, yeah, of course I would. So over the tannoy in Tesco's comes a message, there's a Christian on checkout 15 was willing to pray for anybody who's sick. And in the next half an hour, he prayed for 17 people in Tesco's, not the end of the church meeting after an hour of worship. Isn't that what it's about? God could say that to you, couldn't he? What about that, Bill? Are you up for that? Maybe you don't go to Tesco's, but you do. It could happen in Aldi's. It might even happen in Lidl's. Pardon? Yeah. Wow. Oh, look at the time. Let's stand up, shall we? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, this is the time. This is the time. This is the time. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I prophesied to somebody last night, it's a new season, and I just have a feeling it's a new season for the church as well. A new season of Holy Spirit activity. Sure, you know, you carried a burden and vision to see this kind of stuff. I just have that sense that you've lived for that. You prayed that God would pour out His Spirit on this church and in Haverhill, and you've given your life to it. And just like Simeon in the Bible, I believe God is going to cause you to see the desire of your heart, and you're going to see the revelation of the glory of God and the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because God does have many people in this town that He wants to reach. He brought them here. He brought them here to touch them and reach them by the power of His Holy Spirit. And He wants to use you. Zoe wants to use you. You're not here by accident this morning. You're here because God wanted to speak to you, because He wants to use you. And He wants to speak through you in powerful ways. So start to listen, you know, because He's going to start using you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's going to start speaking through you. Yeah, Matt, it wasn't an accident that my eyes set on you. God's going to use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly in words of knowledge and words of wisdom. You're going to get these thoughts and you're going to go, wow, where did that come from? And it's going to break people's lives open and break situations open and things that seem locked up. And you think, how on earth can we get through this? And what on earth can we do in this situation? Revelation's coming, revelation. You're going to be a man who walks in revelation as you listen for the voice of God. And through you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to unlock people and situations. God's going to use you powerfully. You're going to become very fruitful in these days. Yeah, this is a new day. It's a new season. It's a new time. Miracles and healing. Some of you have longed to see healing. God's going to start using you. Start to take courage. Start to pray for sick people, because you're going to see them healed as you reach out, as God touches your heart and life. And so, Father, we pray this morning as we open our hearts to you that you will fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. God, we need you. Lord, we make ourselves available to you. Perhaps you want to just do that in some way. Perhaps you want to lift your hands. Perhaps you just want to lift your head. Lord, it doesn't matter how. Just say, God, I make myself available to you to be used by you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like you've got to make that decision. You know, it's not going to happen unless you reach out. We've been saying over these last few days that Paul encourages them three times to earnestly desire, and it's for those who earnestly desire, as you earnestly desire, Stephen. Wow, God's going to use you. There's healing going to be released through you. Whoa, you've carried a vision to see people healed for years. God's going to use you in healing. You're going to feel moved to pray for people at times. Recognize that, because that's God coming to you to release through you gifts of healing into people's lives. Yeah. God wants to use every one of us, different gifts, different ministries, knowledge, prophecy, words of wisdom, healing, miracles, faith, God workings, discerning of spirits. God wants to work through every single one of us in this room. God, come, we pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and through us begin to work and move in these days. We're looking to you. We're believing you. We're trusting you. Yeah, we want to see the demonstration of the supernatural in this place, God. Whoa, we want to see you breaking this town wide open, just like you did Samaria, through that one woman, God. And a whole number of people turn to the Lord. We pray for supernatural events to happen in this place. Yeah, God, every day people come through here. I think 500 people a week come through this building. We pray they will encounter your presence and your power. Pray for courage for the guys, for John and others here every day, that you'll speak to them about the people that come in, and through them you'll release your supernatural word to set people free and release them into your purposes for their lives. Come, Lord, we pray. Come. Lord, we make ourselves available. Lord, we make ourselves available to you. God, not just Sunday morning after we worship for half an hour, but God, in the whole of our lives, come, work through us. Come, work through us. Use us, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Sure, on every one of us. Every one of us, Jesus. Yeah. Begin to work through us, we pray, Jesus. It's important that we actually pray that prayer. I've prayed for you all, but somehow it's important that where you are, you make yourself available to God. And you say, God, I'm available. God, I want you to use me in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you just go home and say, well, you either enjoyed it or you didn't, or you thought, oh, that was good, or weren't they great stories? But actually, what it's really all about is whether we've caught this enough to say, God, use me. God, work through me. God, speak through me. God, I want to be used by you in supernatural ways. I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, work and move. Let your supernatural power be released in this place. God, in Jesus' name, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need gifts of healing. We need miracles to flow. We need supernatural events to take place. And we ask you for them in Jesus' name, God. We ask you to use us in the prophetic word. We ask you to use us, Lord, in words of knowledge, words of wisdom. God, I pray for a new dimension to this man's life and ministry by the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Thank you for everything you're doing through him. We're asking you for more. We're asking you for more. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Work and move in Jesus' name. Yeah. 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 Somehow it was really important that Isaiah said to the Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Yeah, yeah, somehow it feels important that we receive this message, that we don't just go home without making some response. And I just believe the Lord wants you to say, here am I. And I'm not asking for crowds down the front or whatever. I'm just really believing that we need to make a move towards God and say, God, here am I. Use me in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that you expect this week for God to start using you, talking to you. Yeah. Here am I. Use me. Yeah. You might want to say it out. Here am I. Use me. Yeah. Come on. Here am I. Here am I. Use me. Yeah. 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 Here am I. Use me. Lord, let your Holy Spirit flow in my life. I want you to use me. Yeah, in this day, in this moment, in this time. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. Yeah. We sing that song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Yeah. And we talk about come and fill this place. You know, and you can put your hand on your own heart, because it's not just this place, the building, it's actually our lives. That the Holy Spirit will come and fill our lives, and we'll start to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Let's pray that prayer one more time then, shall we? Just together. Together, shall we? Let's pray that, Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Notice that Isaiah didn't say, Lord, just give to me. He said, Lord, send me. But in the request for the give, he's expecting to be sent. We could have an appeal now where we sort of pray, and I could sort of say, let's pray for each other and that sort of stuff. But you know what I think we need to do now is just to live in the good of that. To let the declaration that we're making to God this morning, let the things that have been stirred in us this morning become part of the fabric of our everyday life. That we start to see them. And if you're scared, you're thinking, well, you know, the Tesco story sounds great, but that scares me silly. Well, then just start with somebody that's close to you, somebody that you know, and just move towards that, okay? But if you are that sort of bolder person, well, maybe it's time for you to be a little bit bolder. Start the journey wherever you are. Little steps become giant steps. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Our time's gone. I guess the guys are just going to sing one more song. So I'm not going to come up here and sort of say we're finished again. Our time's gone. If you want to carry on worshipping while the guys lead us, then you carry on doing that. If you want to go and get coffee, that's fine. If you do want some prayer this morning, there'll be a few folks down the front here. Be more than happy to pray with you, for whatever that may be. But if you just want to stay drinking Spirit of God, that's fine. Pete will be at the back there, be really happy to sign your books, for you to buy his books for less than the price of 3 coffees. Okay. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, not just in this place, but in the place of our hearts, in the place of our town, in the place that we, and God, we believe that you have sent each one of us into this community because there are people to reach, God. Use us. Here we are, Lord. Send me.